Small businesses are the cornerstones of our local communities, and small business owners are hardworking and passionate people who are chasing down their ambitions while there's a lot on the line. So, let Verizon champion your small business dreams. Whether you own a small business, are scaling one, or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon business expert. Plus, Verizon business experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon, well, they've got you back. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
So why do you want to learn a new language?
I'll tell you why. Because ¿dónde está el baño? Can be a very important question at times. You know, Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. Fast track your language acquisition with immersive lessons designed to teach you to pick up languages in a natural way. I love the fact that I can go from my laptop to my phone to pretty much anywhere and learn the language of my choice. Not to mention, I'm bringing my communication skills to new heights. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a limited time, StarTalk Radio listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/StarTalk. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/StarTalk today.
I'm Gary O'Reilly.
And I'm Chuck Nice.
And this is Playing with Science.
Yes,
it is, as if you didn't know already. Right, today is rugby's turn to step into the limelight.
Rugby?
Yes.
Oh my goodness, where the hell did rugby even come from?
Rugby school, it originated, so the legend has it, by William Webb Ellis in 1823. He got bored with kicking a ball.
So he was playing soccer, and like most people, he got bored.
Got bored. Bad boy. He decided to pick it up and run with it instead. From then on, it becomes rugby football.
Believe it or not, rugby is very popular on a global level, and never once have the players worn pads. Oh my God, that is so ridiculous. And of course, if you've ever seen the game, yep, they are knocking the stuffing out of each other.
Yes, they do. They love it. And joining us today, I'm so pleased about this guest. He's a man who's played professionally on every continent.
Every continent.
Yeah, former USA captain and most capped Eagles player. Yes, if you hadn't already worked it out, Todd Clever.
Todd Clever!
Yeah! But that's not all we have, is it? To pull apart the science of this incredibly physical game, having played it, I can vouch for it being incredibly physical, will be physicist Professor Trevor Lipscomb,
yes,
of Catholic University of America, the author of The Physics of Rugby. But joining us first, that man, rugby's Captain America.
That's right.
Welcome to the show, sir.
Todd Clever.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man.
All right, let's get, for listeners who aren't familiar with the sport, can you break down a few of the basics for us without going way back to point one?
Yeah, I mean, it's a complex game. It's 15 versus 15 is the original original game. They've broken it down to 7 versus 7 as well. So there's a couple of different varieties of rugby, but it's continuous play. Every player plays offense and defense. You pass the ball backwards. You tackle hard. You know, key to the game is possession. You score a try, which is basically you touch the ball over the end zone,
yep, right,
and that's worth 5 points, and then the conversion is worth 2. So it's a great game, a great spectacle game uh, for for all kinds of fans.
So, you know, when you look at the game, and I've been watching a lot of rugby since we knew you were going to have you on. The only rugby I ever watched before in my life was something called Australian Rules Football.
That's not rugby.
That's not rugby,
no.
Though.
Okay. Oh gosh, no. That's yeah.
But I'm telling you, what I'm telling you is this. I was watching Australian Rules Football.
Yeah.
I thought I was watching rugby.
Oh, you're in big trouble.
Okay, so all I can tell you is, for the past couple of weeks since I knew we were going to have you on, I've just been watching rugby, okay? Like the real rugby. And I have to tell you, I'm kind of hooked. It's really a cool sport, and it's amazing to me the DNA imprint that it has placed on American football. It's really very much like American football in many ways, except that the no pads, the action never stops,
yeah.
The drop goal. It's like you guys play every position on an NFL team all at once. Is that kind of correct?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, one of the old sayings for rugby is, all skills, all players. So,
okay.
if it's kicking the ball, if it's passing, if it's tackling, if it's running lines, everybody's a playmaker. Everybody has an opportunity to score, which is really fun.
Hey, Todd, you're built to play NFL. So growing up in California,
yeah.
Why didn't you take that path? And what made you gravitate towards rugby?
The biggest reason why I started playing rugby is to travel and see the world and to, live different, cultures. My older brother, he played American football and he played rugby. And I kind of saw him, play his 10 games in his high school season, summer double days, and, travel 30 minutes for games. And then I saw him play rugby where he traveled across the world and, got to experience different things. Practice a couple times a day, and it seemed like the guys were having a lot more fun. It was an easy decision to follow rugby.
Okay.
Let me say this, Todd. That is brilliant, because most guys join the Navy to see the world. You, my friend, have just upped the game.
As Chuck said in the intro, there's no pads. There never has been, and I doubt there ever will be. How do you find people reacting to you when they realize you don't wear pads?
The sport's growing, and that's awesome. So more people are getting familiar, and they know what rugby is. And I mean, they think a couple screws are loose in the head, but once they experience it and see it, it's a bit of an elegant violence.
That's a great way to put it. I was going to say, it's a beautiful gang war. That's kind of the way I termed it, but I like elegant violence a little better.
Okay,
it's a bit more poetic.
The way it was always described back in England is rugby is a game for hooligans played by gentlemen, and football is a game for gentlemen played by hooligans. Yeah, exactly.
That's very
funny. But the discipline of rugby players is outstanding. There's probably none or very little back chat to an official. What also, Chuck, is incredibly physical, and the big boys don't mind smashing into the little guys.
I know.
Yeah, and okay. there's no sort of weight category. If you've got the ball, you're getting hit.
Okay, so now, I'm so glad you brought that up. This was something that, as I'm watching these games, that struck me as so odd. So American football is highly specialized. Mm. You will have guys my size on the field. You'll have guys, Gary, your size on the field. And you'll also have guys Todd's size on the field. And for those of you who aren't watching us on StarTalkAllAccess.com, where you can see the video, Todd is what you would call a monster. Okay? Yeah. Like, just think of a monster with a lot of muscles and, Viking hair and a beard. And that's Todd Clever. So, Todd, what Gary just said, as I'm watching these games, it really struck me. You'll have guys my size trying to tackle dudes your size.
Yeah.
What the hell is that about?
Fun.
And what is wrong with those guys that they don't get out of your way? Because the guys your size, actually, unlike in football where you can't lead with your head because you're not wearing a helmet, so what you lead with is a forearm, and I've literally seen plays where guys your size will forearm guys my size into the air and away from their bodies as they plow on. Exactly, is that just because there are, okay, what are the positions and how is it that a little guy like me would have to take on a big guy like you?
There's to break down the positions. There's like I said before, there's 15 players on the field.
Yeah, right.
There's 8 forwards and 7 backs. So typically the 8 forwards are your bigger guys. You know, your front row are probably the roundest guys. You know, probably not the fastest.
Right.
Or most skilled.
Diplomatically
but they're strong.
Yeah.
Right. And then you have the second row, which is, you know, your kind of engine room. And those guys are around, you know, from 6'5" to, you know, 6'10", sort of, you know, big guys. And then you have, you know, kind of a mixture of, you know, one of the big guys in the backs with skills and speed. And that's what position I play. You know, right now I'm 6'4", 230. So, you know, you kind of have that. And I'm one of the smaller guys in the back row.
Right.
In the forward pack. And then you have the backs, you know, guys, you know, your size, you know, you have to be fast, skilled. You bring something to the table, you know, other than obviously not the grit in the engine room.
Right.
What you learn earlier on, because I played number 10, so that's fly half. And guys like Todd would peel off the scrum and nobble me. Before I got a chance to kick, run, do anything, I'm looking upwards at the sky. He's wow. completely just, and he's grinning at me because he knows that's what you do so as a flanker.
You played rugby before you played?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Even after you pass it or kick it, you know, early in the game, you gotta show your presence and let them know that I'm breathing down your neck. So,
yeah, it's
you
a know, calling card.
That's part of my role.
It's a calling card.
Right.
Oh, by the way, for the rest of the game, this will be me.
This is you. Yeah. Right. Nice.
I'll be doing this a lot.
Ah.
So what the thing is, the guys who play in the backs, you learn, guys like Todd don't have that compassion gene. That sort of, I love you, I'm going to hug you. They have that, I'm going to flatten you.
Right.
So you learn shift and shake and move. There's one where you will go into and rotate into a challenge and try and get a torque and pull yourself out. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
So now how do you deal with guys that are trying that little move on you?
Oh, you know, it's like you said, those genes, you know, you really can't really care too much on sort of things. You got a job in hand and a task that you got to complete. So that's it.
So, before you go any further,
because you said two things. One, you said you peel off the scrum and then send the guy a calling card,
Can
you please tell us what is the scrum? And when you say that you peel off the scrum, what would that mean?
Okay, so Todd will be part of the scrum.
Right.
Now, the team that has the ball puts it in, but it has to move backwards.
Right.
Right? Correct me if I'm wrong here, Todd. Now, you've got a line of backs that filter off from the scrum, and as that's moving, Todd will be reading the way the ball's going to exit the scrum, and then he'll be eyeing up whoever he decides to have. Now,
so
Todd,
the scrum is the part where all the people are kind of hugging together.
That's it.
Yeah. It's the 8 forwards that I spoke about before. So you have 8 on this team and 8 on this team, and they scrum together. So the front row, the 3 guys right there. And then I'm on the outskirts where, you know, kind of, you know, exit and you know, on defense or attack and be part of the play.
Okay.
So can I ask a Philadelphia Eagles question, please?
Can I stop you? Here it comes.
So, Todd, the Philadelphia Eagles, which happened to be my hometown American football team, have in the 7th round of this year's draft, they picked a guy by the name of, if I'm not mistaken, give me a second, Jordan Mulata. He's a guy who's a little bigger than you and runs like a squirrel. Like he's so, the way he darts about, he looks like an unreal version of a video game that was programmed to play rugby. Are you familiar with him? And how do you think he'll do in the NFL?
I am familiar with him, yeah. So, you know, especially whenever there was a hype of him, you know, possibly moving to NFL or giving it a go. I have some friends that are, you know, NFL agents, and, you know, they've reached out to me in the past from, you know, guys that want to do crossover and join the league, you know, likes of, you know, Jared Hayne to Hayden Smith, and then also, you know, a few other guys. So whenever this kind of comes over, it's a whole learning process. And, you know, guys, and like I said before, I've never played NFL, and I know it's pretty complex with the with a, you know, a whole playbook and learning it. So it's they're going to come in, you know, very foreign. It's going to be a whole different language. And, you know, I know that Nate Ebner from the Patriots, you know, a couple time Super Bowl champion, is, you know, played rugby and he still does, you know, when he's not in Super Bowls. You know, he's explained it really well of just how different the sports are. It's, you know, athleticism gets you so far, but, you know, you got to work your tail off and really challenge yourself the top 6 inches, you know, mentally to really, you know, commit into those roles in the NFL.
I want to go back to the point you mentioned earlier on about the desire to travel, understand, learn, see the world. You ended up in New Zealand. Now, if there was one place on the planet you go with, yes, that and the haka and everything else, that must have been a whole new experience for you to play professional rugby. Don't worry about him. He'll be doing that forever. And just how big a difference was it? Because you've played in South Africa, you've played in England, you've obviously, yeah, Japan. But New Zealand.
New Zealand's got to be the coolest, man. Yeah. Come on, tell the truth.
Yeah, because it's like a religion there.
100%. You know, that's exactly the reason why I went down there. I was, you know, finished my third year at university and, you know, just a couple semesters away and had this opportunity to, you know, move to New Zealand and try out for a contract. Play club rugby and try out is it. And I just put all my eggs in one basket. And, you know, was very thankful for, you know, our USA Sevens coach at the time, John McKittrick. He was a coach down there for a club and part of the professional setup. So he's like, I can get you a tryout and everything else. And that was enough, all I needed, you know, and that's what I, you know, went forward with. And it was completely, you know, all eggs in one basket, going for it all. And, you know, everything, like you said, it's religion down there.
Yeah.
The club rugby scene's fantastic. You have Super Rugby and then you have the New Zealand All Blacks, which are gods, you know, among the earth. You know, if you don't know anything about rugby and you know one thing, it's, you know, about the New Zealand All Blacks and the haka.
Do you get to do that before every match? And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, there is kind of like a warrior ritual that happens before the match where the team, they do the I guess it's the team captain who calls out. And he, yeah. I don't know what he's saying, but he's like, and then everybody on the team just like gets down into this crouch and then they go, they stick their tongues out. And it's the coolest thing I've ever seen. And I want to do it so bad. But does that happen before every game? Because the other team looks like, what the F is going on?
Yeah, so every time New Zealand plays as a national team, the New Zealand All Blacks, they perform the haka. And, you know, as you said, the other opposition, the other country that's about to is shows respect by, you know, staring it down in arms and just embracing their culture, embracing that, you know, yes, the challenge that they're laying forth.
Absolutely.
There and was one team, Todd, I can't remember who it was. What was the team, the international team, that stepped forward while the All Blacks were doing the haka, which I'm being told by my French producer it was France.
It was France. Yeah. He's right.
How is that disrespectful? Is that disrespectful?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
How did that go for France?
Yeah. It's, you know, it was actually embraced quite well from the New Zealand. It's, you know, they're laying down the challenge, and the French accepted it. You know,
nice.
they stepped forward and they said, okay, let's bring it. And,
nice.
I don't think the New Zealand team was quite too happy, and they showed their results
during the game. Well, all I can tell you this, Todd, is because of the haka, now when my wife and I get in an argument, I perform that before the argument happens. I say to her, before we argue, and then I get into my stance. And then she walks towards me, and I end the haka.
And she hits you with a frying pan. Right, on that note, we are going to take a break. Todd, you stick around because we're coming back. We'll have more with Todd Clever, and we will have Professor Trevor Lipscomb. Yes, the author of The Physics of Rugby. We're going to take that break. We will be back shortly.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me, too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me, too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
Welcome back. I'm Gary O'Reilly.
And I'm Chuck Nice.
And this, of course, is Playing with Science, a very special rugby edition. We're exploring the world of rugby with former USA captain Todd Clever.
Yes.
But we are now joined to break down the science. Professor Trevor Lipscomb of the Catholic University of America, author, as we've already touched on, The Physics of Rugby, as well as Albert Einstein, a biography.
That's right.
Wow.
Professor, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Thank you for inviting me.
And before we get to your backstory and how you got to rugby, just got to ask you, who do you like more, rugby or Einstein?
It's a close call. I don't think Einstein would have lasted long on the rugby pitch, so I'm going with rugby here.
There you go.
All right, so how did you – we've asked Todd how he kind of gravitated towards rugby. How's that story work out for you? How did you find yourself in the world of rugby?
Well, like you, I grew up in England, and so in high school you play a lot of rugby. And you know, if I'd have carried on playing soccer, I'd only played for a really bad team like Crystal Palace.
Yes, they are bad. Naughty professor.
So I started playing more rugby and was studying physics in college. And one day, my rugby career ended actually when I broke my neck.
Oh gosh!
Oh my god!
So I thought it was going to be a fun way of putting rugby and physics together, so I ended up writing a book about it.
Very cool. Now, you know what? So just going to, you know, we were about to go down the road of physics, but now that you said what you just said, I just have to ask, since we have Todd on the line, and since you were injured so, I will say severely, there is a common conception that rugby has less injuries than football because you're not wearing pads and football weaponizes the player by putting helmets on them. Mm. However, you just said you broke your back or your neck.
Yeah.
You broke your neck, and I've actually seen Todd score a try by jumping over an injured player on the field while the player was being attended to. So clearly there are injuries in this sport. What is the most common injury, and how often are players hurt in this sport? Can you give us some insight?
Yeah, Todd, please.
I've also heard, and I know that injuries are, you know, less common in rugby than football for the reasons that you mentioned. But I think positionally, it depends on, you know, what position, you know, for the injuries that you receive. For myself, as a flanker, I had a lot of trouble with my fingers and hands. I dislocated some fingers and broke some bones in the hands, but nothing that you can't tape up and keep on playing.
Easy for you to say.
I was quite lucky. I mean, you get bumps and bruises, you know, on the shoulders, you know, bruising legs from getting tackled. But again, I was quite lucky through my playing career to not sustain too serious as unfortunate as the professor received a broken neck. But it's a contact sport and things happen. But I know it is safer than American football.
And Professor, from a science standpoint, if you could just tell us maybe why injury is less in rugby, and then if you don't mind reliving your horrific accident
maybe not.
For my entertainment, I would really appreciate knowing how you broke your neck.
Don't indulge him.
Sure. Well, one of the things that science tells us, actually, is that the bigger a bone is, then the harder it is to break. So in many sports, what you're going to see, contact sports, you're going to see things like Todd said, where, you know, fingers and thumbs and toes might be easier to break, but something bigger like a thigh bone or your hip or your shoulder, it's going to be a lot tougher. Mm. Unfortunately, the bones in the neck are a little bit small, so they can break easily under certain circumstances. With the difference between rugby and American football, one of the huge differences is if I go and tackle someone in rugby and I get my arm too high, then I'm going to hit them in the face. But in American football, sticking my arm out, I might actually just grab hold of the visor, right, the face mask, and create a huge amount of torque that's going to rip the neck around.
Oh, shit.
And so... And the other thing is, again, you can. It's a lot to do with friction, right? Your hand is going to slide off another human being's skin, but it can stick to a helmet. So again, you can get these whiplash injuries, these horse collar injuries, because the friction from hand to equipment is different from hand to hand or hand to leg.
Okay.
Thing is, now there are certain codes. And we'll focus on rugby union rather than the league and the sevens. But in terms of rugby union, about tackling high and spearing and all sorts of different things that have gone on in the past, which can cause horrific injuries. So the governing body, the RFU, seem to have brought in an updated code of conduct when it comes to tackling. Is that right?
They have, yeah. And I think it makes the game safer.
Cool. However, I must say that in my last few weeks of watching rugby, as opposed to thinking before then, when I was really watching Australian rules football, I'm so embarrassed. But I'm so embarrassed.
You're in the right country.
All these years, I've been watching Australian rules football, which, by the way, comes on very late at night here in America, and I've been watching it for years, thinking I was watching rugby, and I just thought Australian rules football was another form of rugby. But anyway, in the last couple of weeks watching rugby, I've seen players Todd's size actually fling guys. Like, you're allowed to grab the guy, yeah, and they swing the guy, and like the guy holds on to the ball, goes out of bounds, but then it's held against him for holding on to the ball and going out of bounds because he's holding the ball when he touches down out of bounds.
Yeah.
What is up with that? Like, you flung me out of bounds. You're a monster. You're Todd Clever. I'm Chuck Nice. I'm this little teeny guy who should be telling jokes, but for some reason I'm out here on the pitch. I have the rugby ball in my hand. You grab me. You throw me out of bounds, and I'm penalized. Why is that?
Because you're Chuck Nice. What the professor said. What the professor said. So we now worked out, it was like sort of multiple choice. Should I play rugby? You answered the questions like this.
Yes.
Definitely not.
Definitely not.
So, okay, Todd, I'm going to ask you a question and I'll hopefully get the professor to explain a little bit of physics about it. As I was growing up playing rugby, all of a sudden I'd see players, when they got the ball, would spin pass. And it was like a whole new technique, because as kids we were just chucking it left or right and it's wobbling and it's all over the place. But then the players practice and develop this spin pass, a really tight spiral. Mm-hmm. Is that, from a player's point of view, what is the advantage of that? And then I'll ask the professor about the physics.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned from, you know, rugby, how it happened and the rules and a lot of changes. Rugby is always evolving, you know, for safety and for entertainment and, you know, all sorts of the reasons for the game. But for that reason, for the pass, I mean, if you're spinning a pass, you know, it's a long pass, it makes sense, you know, it gets there faster. You practice a technique. You know, it's one of those things you do 10,000 times on each hand through your, you know, training career. You can, you know, hit a dartboard from, you know, 25 meters away, 20 meters away. And it just gets there faster and it's just more consistent and free flowing.
Okay. Professor, that's the player's point of view.
Yeah.
From the science, why have players worked out that putting a real tight spiral on their passes is more advantageous?
It was due to a thing called gyroscopic stability. If you spin something as you throw it, it wants to continue in that direction, right? You got the same thing in American football, mm-hmm. where you try and throw the ball downfield with a tight spiral. That spiral keeps something going in the direction it's been aimed. Again, in baseball, right, if you throw a knuckleball, it's got no spin on it at all, and it goes all over the place, it's incredibly unpredictable. So that tight spiral will allow that ball to go straight where you aimed it, and you hope that's straight into the arms of your teammate.
Cool. So it's really a stabilization thing. You get a longer pass and a more accurate pass because the ball has a rotation on it.
That's exactly it.
Awesome. Todd, one thing I couldn't work out was to pass from my left to the right, because I'm right-handed. So I was passing right, I was okay. But to pass, it was like, this is all wrong. How long did it take? And you just said you practiced with both hands. How long did it take you to master? And how do you alter your technique?
It's just one of those things, you know, like a switch hitter, you know, for baseball, you know, takes both, you know, you got to just practice. And ultimately, my left hand, like I'm right-handed as well, and that's how I started, you know, passing, just spin past my right, and then, you know, try not to, you know, pass anyone to my left because I didn't have the skill, you know. So that was always my dummy move because, you know, I can't pass that way and just kind of run forward. But ultimately, if you're playing the higher level, you got to retain those skills. And, you know, throughout my career, I end up becoming a better left-handed passer than a right-handed passer because I was, you know, working on that skill so much.
But, interesting.
But so the shape's similar in terms of a pigskin and a rugby ball, but there's no laces on a rugby ball?
Not really, no.
No, do we have a pressure differential? Does that actually make a great deal of difference? We're getting into your favourite place, Inflategate or
That's
Deflategate.
Right.
Yeah. So what sort of differences do we have in a rugby ball, Professor?
Well, with a rugby ball, it's very much like an ellipse, right? So it's a more rounded end than an American football. What's really happening when you spin the ball is you're actually creating a pressure differential, if you want to think about it that way, which can create something called the Magnus effect, which is sort of a consequence of the drag force, which I know you like here on the show.
You've been listening, Professor.
I see you've been listening.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. And so even though you're actually passing in a particular direction, it will drift a little bit.
Right.
So that actually is a problem if you're defending and the other team kicked the ball towards you. If you've got a right-handed kicker, that ball's going to come headed straight towards you to begin with, but then it's going to drift away slightly one way. But if you have a left-footed kicker, it's going to drift in the opposite direction. And again, it's the same kind of thing that happens in baseball if you've got a left-handed pitcher versus a right-handed pitcher throwing a slider, right? They're going to go in different directions.
Correct. So now we have discussed with respect to American football, the tight spiral bomb pass, which, you know, is probably the most exciting thing that we see in American football, aside from maybe a breakaway, like 100-yard dash. What what we learned is from our other resident professor is that the laces on the ball actually create that arcing path where it causes the nose of the ball at some point to start pointing downwards, and that's how you get those beautiful elliptical flight patterns.
The only time you'll get the ball traveling any distance will be through kicks.
Right.
Again, someone will pass maybe 30.
That's what I was going to say. Is there ever a pass in rugby that's long enough to affect that where laces affect the paths in football where that you don't get that?
Todd, in a normal game, would you find any length of pass over 40 yards?
No, I wouldn't say more than 40 yards.
You know, that's a pretty good pass, though.
I know, but you're always passing backwards.
You're always passing backwards.
You don't have that forward pass, because if you have a forward pass, then the referee introduces himself into the game.
So how hard is that to pass a ball backwards? That's basically a lateral when you're passing backwards 40 yards.
It sounds completely counterintuitive, because you want to go forward.
Right.
But if both teams are playing with the same rules, it kind of works itself out.
Yeah, yeah. So how difficult is it to get a 40-yard pass in rugby, Todd? And then, Professor, from a physics standpoint, how difficult is that?
I've seen a couple of them, and it's obviously not from from anyone in the forward pack, the eight guys. It's from the skill guys.
Okay.
There has been a couple, big old wind-up Joe Montana passes. But obviously they go backwards, but they also what's happened is there's a kick pass where you can kick it across the field, and that's where probably the farthest pass
right
has occurred. I can't say much more than 40 meters from a pass.
Gotcha,
Professor. Quickly before we're going to have to take another break, is there an equation so as you can consistently trap, catch a bouncing rugby ball? Because it seems the one thing that players, no matter how good they are, always struggle with.
It's something that scientists always struggle with as well. It's an odd-shaped ball, and the ball is bouncing on a surface that could be wet if you're playing like in Scotland in winter, or it could be bone hard if you're playing sevens in rugby. So it can give you some guidelines, but you're on your own.
Nice.
Sounds familiar. Right, we're going to take that break.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Welcome back to Playing with Science. Our guest today, if you've just joined us, where have you been? Go back to the beginning and listen all the way up to now. Right, it was former USA captain Todd Clever and Professor Trevor Lipscomb of the Catholic University of America and author of The Physics of Rugby. Yes. And yes, we are talking about rugby still because we love it. We've got a new devotee. It's called Chuck Nice.
Yes, man. I got to tell you, I'm a fan of rugby. I mean, I actually find, as I said, it's definitely the child. American football is certainly the child of rugby, if not the distant cousin. And there's so many similarities that I see where I can see the development of American football from rugby itself.
Absolutely.
Except that there is a stoppage of play all the time, which, believe it or not, I can't believe that I found that disconcerting, because every time you would have the tackle happen, right, player goes down, you don't realize, because as an American football fan, I'm like, all right, play's over. Let's break this up and let's set up at the line of scrimmage.
No,
these guys, they push the ball out, or they move the ball, or another player yeah. picks it up. So
I mean, let's go back. Listen to Todd. So as it's a continuation, and there are stoppages, but it's generally a free-flowing game. How do you develop a physicality and mentality to remain in the game? Because you being the physical demands are great, as well as the mental demands.
Yeah, massively. I mean, you're playing offense and defense.
Yeah.
You don't have a coach or, you know, someone making the calls from the sideline or up in the box after every down or anything else. So you rely a lot on the captains, a lot on the playmakers to, you know, what's going on. So it's a very much player's game. And, you know, American football is very much a coach's game.
Absolutely.
How interesting. Absolutely. Right. Because you're part of the scrum, and for me, the scrum was always, well, it goes in there and stuff happens. It's a mystery. There's got to be definite techniques, and how do you manage? Because there's all sorts of hand grabs and grafts and sort of things that are going on in there. So you better, if it's secret, don't tell me. But then again, tell me.
I mean, it's a possession. You know, scrums happen whenever there's a forward pass or a knock on, or a team chooses to, you know, have a scrum. And, you know, there isn't anything dirty that, you know, goes on 99.9% of the time. But, you know, the front rows, the props and the hookers, they think it's that's their art form, that they can express themselves and show dominance against opposition. But for some fans, and I know especially number 10s and the rest of the backs, they think it was pretty pointless, and they don't think much of it.
You know, Todd, yes, normally you pay extra for a hooker to show dominance. But anyway, Professor. Oh.
Professor, ignore him.
Come on, Todd's cracking up. Come on. Professor, can you break down for me the physics of the scrum? Here these people are all locked together, arm in arm. They're moving, their heads are butting.
They have to interlock without bashing each other. Yeah.
As a huge group, and then you see them moving almost as a unit, but imposing their will. What kind of physics is at play in that process?
Yeah,
pretty much it's a question of force, right? Each team is trying to have the largest amount of force directed downfield, right? So if you're all aligned in the same way, you're going to maximize your shove down the pitch. Now, there's a way to outforce the opposition, right? If it's their scrum and they put the ball in, their hooker, the guy in the middle, has to hook the ball back with his feet. That means he can't push. So if your hooker is pushing, that gives you a sort of 8-7 person advantage. And if you look at where Todd plays as flankers, you can get your flankers aligned very close to the scrum, so they're pretty much pushing straight down the field, or you can have them more at right angles, which will mess up the opposition's scrum half because he's got to take a detour around to get the ball.
So how much force is there if someone like Todd, who's built like a tank with extra armor, starts to push and rotate the scrum? So what are we dealing with in terms of physics there?
All right, so a good estimate is that a rugby player can push equal to about their own weight. So if you imagine you've got 8 people's Todd size, which Wikipedia says is 213 pounds, so you've got about 16,000 foot-pounds of force going on there.
Wow.
You also have torque, which is when you're going to try and rotate that scrum. That's usually when you've lost it and you're trying to mess up the possession for the opposition. Now, the other worry with the scrum, which is actually how I bust my neck, is that if you've got the front rows pushing not horizontally but slightly downwards, then the entire scrum can collapse. And what happened in my case was the 2 props got pulled over to one side, and so basically the weight of both teams' packs went on my neck. And
oh,
You happy you know now?
Oh, God, I'm sorry I ever asked.
See?
I don't, my neck is hurting right now. My neck is actually hurting.
There's part of me says good. There's part of me says that's not good at all.
Oh, man. Well, by the way, the physics is fascinating, and it actually shows you the physicality of that particular process when it's going on the pitch. That's amazing.
Okay, Todd, there's something that Chuck probably won't quite get to grips with, but the line out, right? When a ball has gone out of bounds on the sideline, then it has to come back in. There's a line out. Now, back in the day when I played in high school, things have changed. You're allowed to pick up a player, and all of a sudden it's starting to look somewhere between ballet and...
By the way, it's my favorite part of the game is because you get to pick the player up.
Yeah.
And he gets to go higher. You pick him up so he can actually get high enough to catch the ball, which, I mean, the whole thing looks really cool. I mean, it just looks poetic. It looks very elegant, even though you guys are like huge and muscular. It's like the one part of the game that looks almost like a dance, or like that scene in Dirty Dancing when, never mind.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
But you know what I'm saying.
It just seems, Todd, it just seems wrong, but it's an integral part of the game.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one facet of the game where you, you know, retain possession or you steal away possession from the opposition. So like when Chuck said, you know, you ragdoll somebody out of bounds, it's a turnover. So the other team gets that line out to throw the ball in. So it's complex. It's very much thinking, got to outthink and, you know, speed and power. There's a lot that goes into a lineout. It's not just, you know, pick a player out. There's,
right,
you know, interchanging. There's moving backwards, moving forwards, looping around to beat the other opposition. It's a race up in the air. Whenever get this, Chuck. The hooker throws the ball in too. So that's for you.
Oh, hookers! Is there anything they can't do?
Physics, professor, save me. Physics of a line out before Chuck just disappears for half an hour.
So I used to be a hooker.
Yes, you're not helping.
Sorry.
Go ahead, professor.
So the hooker throws the ball in, and physics shows without a doubt that throwing it to the big guy is usually a big idea. It is usually a good idea, right?
Yeah.
And as Gary says, back in the day, you weren't allowed to be lifted at all. And you still throw it to the tall guy and he gets the ball. Now, it actually, as Chuck was saying, it looks more like a ballet because it's got to be so well timed. The hooker's got to know exactly where to throw it, but also when the lift is coming, right? If you throw the ball way up in the air and the guys get the lift wrong, then it's going to go sailing over the guy's head.
Right.
So it's really a question of throwing the ball with precision and with practice so that everyone knows what they're doing at the right time.
Super cool.
Yeah. Todd, do you have a question for the professor while you're here and we've got you together?
No, I actually learned quite a lot about, you know, the scrums and, you know, the force and why the ball passes. So, I mean, you know, I knew the reason, I knew the outcome, but the technique. So that's quite good.
Okay, all right, before we have to sadly let you go, let's ask you both the same question. Where is rugby headed in the future, and in particular, where is rugby headed in the US? Start with you, Professor.
That's a difficult question to answer. I'm hoping it's going to go away from the way that England plays rugby, right? England plays rugby like the New York Jets play football. It's ground and pound, and it's not interesting, but they often win, unlike the Jets. So what I would like to see is sort of a lot more open play. I'd actually like to see no lifting at the lineouts. I think the laws really need to change to try and increase player safety, but obviously I'm a bit biased on that point.
Yeah.
But also what you're going to see is more and more nations who've never played rugby or who've not been particularly good at rugby, their level of play is going to increase over the years, and it's going to become a truly international game. Again, if you think when I was a kid with the World Cup, you know, there are many teams who are now made in the knockout stage of this year's World Cup in soccer who would never have qualified when I was young.
Yeah.
So that's great for the game.
I agree with you. That's so, cool. Todd, where do you see rugby going in the future and again in the US in particular? Because I know you have an involvement down in Austin, in Texas.
Yeah, I mean, I could speak about, where the rugby is going in America, quite easily, and it's an easy answer. It's moving up. World rankings, we're getting better. We just beat Scotland down in Houston a couple weeks ago. We've been dominating Canada, which we haven't in the past years. We've formed a new league, Major League Rugby, MLR, just started this year. And the semifinals are on this weekend. Finals are in San Diego, July 7th at USD. And it's amazing how what response there is of introducing rugby, and people are experiencing it for the first time and seeing that the camaraderie, seeing the respect, and there's an outlet for people that don't want to play football or parents that don't want to put their kids in football. There's youth rugby growing massively. So America's always been sort of the sleeping giant. That's what England and New Zealand, they've always said, when Americans kind of take place. The sleeping giant's just waking up, and it's awesome to be part of it. I have interest in the Austin franchise that participates in the Major League Rugby, and we had a pretty good season, and now just across the board, the sport's growing, and it's awesome to get it on TV and introduce it to a lot more fans.
Cool. Have you got a one-line sales pitch to get people interested in rugby?
Well, yeah, put it like this. Both of you, Professor, you and Todd, you're talking to America right now. You should play rugby, or you should watch rugby because?
It's a fantastic fast action sport.
Todd, you're up.
Todd?
I mean, from Chuck's side, I have to put in hooker somewhere in there just to sell it.
Boom!
No, but you had me at hooker.
Job done. Todd, we've got the World Rugby Sevens. Don't encourage him anymore.
Oh, that's my new. I'm getting a T-shirt. It's going to say rugby. You had me at hooker.
Gentlemen. He's going to wake up in the middle of the night giggling. You know that, don't you? Before we let you go, Todd, we've got the World Rugby Sevens coming up in San Francisco. It's going to be in the Giants Stadium. How good is that going to be to grab audience attention here in the U.S.?
Rugby sevens is an Olympic sport since just got reintroduced to Olympics in Rio. And right. Now that USA Rugby bidded for the Rugby World Cup, the Sevens Rugby World Cup, and we won the bid. So we're hosting at AT&T Park in San Francisco, July 20th to July 22nd. And, there's 24 men's national teams coming, 16 women's national teams coming. So from all parts of the globe coming in, and it's going to be able to showcase, and first time we've ever hosted an event like this. And, tickets are scarce at the moment. We're going to sell out of the whole park of all 3 days, and it's going to be amazing. And the countdown's fully on, and really excited for the public and all the American fans, and obviously the players to experience playing in such an iconic stadium.
It's 15 versus 15, but reduced to
seven on seven.
And it's much faster, correct?
Yep. Yeah, much faster. I mean, you play three games a day, with breaks in between, but the whole tournament, happens in 3 days. For the Rugby World Cup, 15 versus 15, that takes, 7-8 weeks. And this you can have a whole tournament in 3 days.
Brilliant.
Fascinating. Great.
Todd Clever, thank you so much indeed. It's been a privilege and a pleasure. And you've got at least one extra fan here.
Yes, you do. Both of you. Thank you. Thank you for
Professor Trevor Lipscomb,
turning me on.
What a dry sense of humor you have. You must be British. Yeah. what is it? The Catholic University? University Catholic?
The Catholic University of America.
America. Professor of Physics of Rugby. Thank you. Absolutely brilliant, the pair of you. Really enjoyed our show on rugby.
Yeah, this was fantastic. Amazing.
Yes.
Amazing. I'm a fan. I'm just letting you know right now, for the rest of you who are listening, if you ever get the chance, first check it out on YouTube. Just go on YouTube and check out some rugby games.
Well, check out the Rugby Sevens.
Full, and then check out the Sevens. All I can tell you is this. If you're a real football fan, you're definitely going to be a rugby fan.
You don't have to play it, but you will enjoy watching it. I guarantee you that. Well, I've been Gary O'Reilly.
And I've been Chuck Nice.
And I'm still Gary O'Reilly.
And I'm still Chuck Nice.
And this has been Playing with Science. Hope you've enjoyed our rugby special. We will catch up with you sometime in the near future.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.